Pastor Michelle comes and ministers the word. Sister Pastor Michelle. Pastor Honey.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. He is so good, and I hope that you realize today how much He loves you. How much He loves you, wants to bless you, wants to be richly in your life. And today is going to be interesting. I have a lot here, but I have determined that I am not going to rush through it, and if we don't get finished, then we'll save it for later. But there's a lot of things that God's been opening up to me and showing me, and I want to share some of it with you today. And some of it's going to be, okay, and then it's going to be move along to the next one, and oh, that's what I needed. Because it's a lot of little nuggets that when we put them together, they make up the fullness of the life that God has called us to. So Brother Steve has already kicked us off in it. But I just want to ask you to do something, if you would stretch your hands out toward me, and I'm going to stretch mine out towards you, and let's just call on the anointing for everything that we need to hear and see today to flow. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to gather together unto you, and to learn of you. Father, I ask you to use me, to speak through me, not my thoughts, but your thoughts, Father, those things that you would say to your people. And Father, I pray that the eyes and the ears of understanding be opened in your people to hear and see what you are saying. And Father, through drawing on and flowing in the anointing today, Father, we find that marvelous place of feasting on your word, of learning and growing, of being enriched, of being encouraged, Father, and being the believers that you've called us to be, accomplishing everything you desire us to do. And we will be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for what you are accomplishing in our midst. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. A friend put on Facebook, said, well, that was a week. How many of you feel like it's been a week? It has been a week. It's been a crazy week. But we're still here. You know, it's 2021, and it's all going to be better, right? We're being stretched. Let me give you a clue. Know that, you know, God does not hate you. We're being stretched, and we're proving that the God within us is more than enough. We're proving that he that is in us is greater than he that's after us. Amen? God is faithful. So what I want to talk to you about today, as I've said before, I have trouble putting a title on messages sometimes, and I don't think that they always need it, but I have two options if you want them. One is faith in the anointing. And the other is walking as he walked. You know, the word says, he that says he abides in Christ ought to walk as he walked. And so we're just going to delve a little bit into understanding that walking as he walked. And some of it's going to be review, and it's going to sound like old information, but then there's going to be a fresh breeze through it that makes it a little more alive to you. Because sometimes when we think we know it all, we lose the beauty that we've missed. There's always more in God. There's always deeper. There's always another level. And we have been taught so beautifully, so deeply, so well, continue to be taught on faith. And it's like, really, God? Faith? But just some little nuggets that I want to share with you that I believe will enrich what you're doing. And then we're going to take a right turn, and you're going to say, what does that have to do with this? But I promise it'll all come together if we're all drawing on the anointing, right? Because I had some questions. I had seen it a certain way yesterday, and then after we came to prayer last night, I said, no, it's got to go this way because God said this in prayer. And then as I began to put it together, I realized that I had eliminated one and it needed to be both. And I said, God, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. But we're going to see how much of it he wants us to get to today. Amen. So I want to start with Hebrews 11:6. And we talked about this last week. If you missed last week, I know a lot of you just couldn't even get out of your driveway, much less your neighborhood. But if you missed it, I encourage you to listen on, go back on live stream or Facebook or YouTube, wherever it is that you like to take it up, and listen to it again, because there are blessings that some of you may not have realized, may not be partaking of. So I encourage you to listen to that, but we're going to go a little deeper into that verse in Hebrews 11:6. Says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we must have faith. It is necessary in order to come before him. I don't believe any of you would be here today if you didn't have faith. We have faith. And how do I know that? Because the word says that God has given us a measure of faith. In Romans 12:3, it says, God has given every man the measure of faith. We all had something to start out with. That's what got us into the family. At some point, the Holy Spirit came to you and planted a possibility inside of you. The ability to believe that there's something more to life than what you had outside of God. He put faith in you to believe that he was the missing ingredient, and in him, so much more would make sense. So we've been given that, and we have that. That is, I guess you could say that's, you know, what's in your hand. We have faith, but what are we going to do with it? Because there is the ability and the possibility to increase it. So let's look at that. And I want to call this fellowshipping in his word. Through the fellowship of his word, faith increases. We cannot study and learn the word, understand it, and apply it without him. He is the one who wrote it, who authored it, and we must hear from him. So it's not simply, I'm going to read the word and then I'm going to talk to God about it. It doesn't make sense without him. We have to read it with him, with the Holy Spirit illuminating as we go, because the understanding is not here. I don't care how intelligent you are. It's not about this. It's speaking to you. You are a spirit. This is your processor, I guess, if you will. But the word needs to come alive in your spirit with understanding, and we'll get further into that in a few minutes. But I call it fellowshipping in the word, fellowshipping with the one who inspired the word, who wrote the word, who is word. And remember that the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God. We talked about that, I think, last week. Searches the heart of God and reveals to us what is in the heart of God. Imagine if you could read one of the classics with the author sitting right there explaining to you every reason that they took that plot twist, everything that made them want to do it that way and not this way. How amazing that would be. So much more insight. Like a narration as you read the story. The Holy Spirit reveals what is in the heart of God for us for that passage. And what I hear when I read Hebrews 11:6 is going to be different than what Phoebe hears, because she's in a different place and she may need something different today. And the author is going to say, I put this in there for you. But Victoria, I put this in there for you. And he's going to bring those things to us. So when we read the word of God, the Holy Spirit knows the intent of God's heart in all that he did and spoke, and he's able to reveal it to us so that we understand while we are reading. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes, proceeds from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've received a measure of faith. But as we continue in word, in him, in the word, we are increased in our faith. We grow in our faith. And we know that it doesn't necessarily take a whole lot of faith to accomplish things. But we know the more that we grow in faith, the more that we are able to step out in confidence and accomplish things. Understanding that. So putting in the word of God It reinforces his nature in us. Now, I don't think it's just reading the Bible. You know, I remember Pastor Jim. I can almost remember that shocking sound when everybody kind of sucked wind when he said, he held it up and he said, "This is not the Word of God." And everybody was like, "But Pastor, it says on the front, Holy Bible. How can you say that?" It contains the Word of God. It also contains the words of men. It contains the words of the devil. It contains the confusion that the enemy tried to bring. And it contains the Word of God that straightened it out. So reading his words, reading our Redeemer's words, where they say read the red and do what he said, reading what God said, those are the words that grow and increase our faith. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I want you to make a correlation today. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures, and I want you to see, I don't know, we could call it the circle of life, maybe. But I want you to see something that maybe you haven't seen before. Man lives. Lives is not exists. Lives is not necessarily functions. It includes function. Live is life, vitality, fullness, abundance. And I have to say that I have a little frustration when something bad happens, like this week, and we have snow and people's power goes out and weird things, and people say, "Well, that's life." No. That may be what happens on this road down here, but that is not life in God's definition. And man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I speak to you are spirit and life, vitality, fullness, joy." That is what he speaks to us. And I want to take you to another scripture that God opened to me, and I realized something I hadn't seen before. In Habakkuk 2:4, it's quoted again in Romans, I think in Hebrews and Galatians. It says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, see, I've always thought of that as somebody looking over their glasses and saying, "You better be just, and you better make every decision that you make by faith. You need to regulate yourself by faith." And it was like you need to stay in line. And if you're not staying in line, we know you're not righteous. It was this judgment statement. I don't know why. It just came across to me that way. And I realized that God was saying that those who understand that you live in my righteousness, there is life abundant for you, joy, fullness, vitality, when you live by faith. By faith. Faith comes from the Word. And Jesus said, "The Word that I speak is life." So we have the Word, and we have faith, and we have life. And it's a beautiful cycle. The more of the Word that we take in, the more our faith grows. And the more our faith grows, the more we live in abundance. The more we have life, the more we have joy. In the beginning was the Word. As our Redeemer. In the beginning was Word. Jesus, Yeshua. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him, in Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. When the Word dwells in you, you have life. Why? Because when you have the Word, you have faith. And that's what we live by. That's where we find our life. So do you see the cycle of word, faith, life, and it just continues. And as each one grows, life gets richer, it gets fuller, it gets better, it gets sweeter. Because we are in Him. It says, in the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. In Psalms, it says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your Word gives light, gives understanding, shows me where I am and what's going on. All of these things are in the Word. Do you want to be a light? Do you want to be the light of the world? Do you understand the essence and the source of that light is Word? Word. The Word of God. How much are you putting in the Word of God? What is your life satisfaction rating right now? On a 1 to 10, wake up in the morning. Ugh. We need more Word. Putting the Word in. Putting His Word in. That is our life. That is where we find life. So faith comes by hearing. We must have faith to live. We need His Word to build faith in us so that we have life. But faith, we understand from James, faith is not just about giving us a happy life. Faith is about function. Faith is about doing something. So faith comes by hearing the Word. But how does faith work? How does faith work? Faith works by love. Well, you know, it just seems like my faith is not working anymore. I'm just trying to believe God, and I'm trying to say the right thing, and I'm trying to expect, and I'm speaking, and I'm declaring. How's your love life? How's your love life with God? Because as I understand it, at the root of unbelief is a lack of trusting in His love. Because if you really knew how much He loves you, you could rest in that. Brianna does not lay awake at night thinking, man, I wonder if Dad's going to feed me tomorrow. I wonder if he's going to let me stay in this room tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, you know, he could take it away. Maybe he'd try to teach me something. She doesn't lay awake wondering those things. She probably has never even given it a second thought. It's second nature. Daddy loves me. He's not going to do that. Mom loves me. You know, there's going to be some uncomfortable. They may try to make me eat Brussels sprouts every now and then because they know it's good for me beyond my comfort level. I need to grow a little bit. But trusting in His love. Faith works by love. Now, if you haven't put the Word in, you have nothing to work. Okay? So we must put the Word in. Sunday morning is not enough. That's good. That's good. But you need to put the Word in on your own time. And then when you do, you will see life increase. And then because of that life, you will come to Him and have an opportunity to draw on His love for you. Because if you can't trust His love for you, if you don't have that, then you don't have anything to give. Because He is love. And if I don't have Him, I can't help you. So we have to draw on that love. Galatians 5 tells us that love is a fruit that comes from being in His presence. In His presence. Why is it good to put on praise and worship music? Because it focuses your heart on Him. It welcomes His presence and it gives Him an opportunity to pour into you the love that you need so that you can trust Him. And you trust Him for you. And then you're moved with compassion when you see someone with a need. And you're not saying, gee, I wonder if God wants to minister to them today. I don't know. I don't think they've been doing what they're supposed to. Maybe that's for somebody else. No. You're moved with compassion, the compassion of God. The very same thing that Jesus was moved with when he would work miracles. He was moved with compassion. So we need to cultivate that love walk. Faith works by love comes from Galatians 5, 6. And Paul is talking in Galatians there in chapter 5 about receiving the finished work of the cross and understanding that our works do not make God like us. Is not about our works. Faith works by understanding how much God loves us and immersing ourselves in his love. We need a deep revelation of God's love for us. If you question it, if you ever find yourself wondering, how could he love me? Why would he love me? What is there about me to love? I want to challenge you to do something, okay? I want you to go to the Father and say, God, reveal to me your love for me. Because I can tell you all day long. But if you don't hear it directly from the Father, you're going to argue it. You're going to question it. But God wants to talk to you. He wants to love on you. That's why I was talking today about having an encounter with God. We have to put everything else aside, everything else out of the way, and say, okay, God, it's just me and you. I need to know. I need to know. And he will tell you, because it's his good pleasure to freely give you those things. If he gave us a son, how much more will he freely give us all things? He loves you just like you are. He loves me, ornery just as I am. Difficult, mouthing off sometimes. He loves me. He loves me enough to teach me out of some of those things. But I can't learn my way out of those things if I don't trust his love. Because then it's just an action. And it doesn't breed anything. So we need that deep revelation. And we understand that we can't give what we don't have. We have to receive his love. We want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. But it all comes out of his love. And if we could just catch a glimpse into his love and receive it, I believe we would find ourselves walking in those things without trying to conjure it up and do I decree? Do I point my finger? Do I stomp my foot? How do I make this miracle? Oh, no, that's just what God does because he loves you. We would find that more prevalent in our lives. So falling in love with him and developing that love relationship is something that we need to pursue if we want to see our faith work, because that's what it works by. Amen. So understanding that love, being in love with Jesus, falling in love with him, receiving his love, that takes us another step closer to some things. It requires commitment. See, love is a covenant. It is a commitment. It is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. It evokes emotions and feelings, but it is a covenant at its deepest. And when you fall in love with that special one, there comes a time when it's all or nothing. All right? We've been dating for 4 years now, and we're either growing and this is getting better, or it's dying and it's not growing. Because if it's, you know, if you're not, it's, there's no coasting. You're growing, you're green and growing, or you're ripe and rotting. Okay? You're green and growing, or you're ripe and rotting. So love is growing in a place where there is commitment. And at some point, ladies, at some point we say yes. We say, I do. There's a commitment, and you're all in. All in. Some of y'all been dating Jesus for years and years and years. I love you, Lord. I will come and see you here. I love to do this with you. I love it when we enjoy this together. But you haven't yet said yes. You're not all in. Well, there's no judgment there. We grow into that. I understand that. We can only do what we can comprehend. But understand that God is asking us into that place of, I am all in. I can remember when Richard and I made that determination with House of the Lord, this is what we do. This is not a part-time job. This is not a church that we go to. This is not a calling that we participate in sometimes. This is what we do. If the doors are open, if we can be there, we're there. Whatever's going on, we support the vision. Father, you've called us here to these people. We haven't done it all right. We haven't gotten everything right. I don't think that we'll ever hit 100%. I'm pretty sure. But our heart said, yes, Lord. Even when it was uncomfortable, when we didn't really like it for a while, for this reason or that reason, maybe because our flesh was suffering, because, man, we have a lot of meetings. But you got to get your focus right, and what's it about? Prayer is not a discipline. Prayer is not a box to be checked. Prayer is time with the one you love. How strange would it be if, you know, Brother Rob came in and said, man, I spent an entire hour with my wife last night. I spent a whole hour just, you know, talking and telling my heart and saying this and saying that and saying this and saying that. I spent a whole hour. How many of us would wonder, maybe they need some counseling? What's going on? And yet we are so proud of ourselves if we can actually pray for 1 hour. Now, the next step is understanding that it's 24/7. I need to make a place for prayer. But prayer happens with me all the time. Constantly. I'm talking to God. I'm listening to Him. But it's a love life. It's a love walk. And at some point, we say, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And we're watching for the cloud. And when the cloud moves, we pack up. We don't argue. I just got the silverware like I like it in the drawer. And now you're telling me to pack up and we're moving again. Yes, because we're in covenant relationship. And because we've exercised the process of word, faith, life, love, I trust you to know that you're not going to make me do something just to watch me suffer. Everything you do for me, Lord, everything you call me to answers a question, a need on the inside of me that maybe I haven't seen yet. But there are some things that in this season and in this time, God is calling us to step up to say, this is what I do. This is my life. All of these other things are peripheral. A job that I have, if it's a place where God's called you, maybe it's just a place where, you know, God sort of put a bookmark and said, we're going to do this until. But all these other things are peripheral because, God, this is what I do. This is where you called me. For us, it's House of the Lord Fellowship Church. And the vision and the mission therein. What is it for you? Where has He called you? And have you said yes? Or have you said, well, let me go, you know, bury my father. Let me go get my oxen out of the ditch and I'll be back with you in a little bit. Let me go do these things. Let me take care of this first. And God says, it's all or nothing. It's yes now. Or it's nothing. God is looking for a yes from you. I was talking with someone last night, and if they won't laugh and look around, nobody will know who it was, about some prayer time. And in their prayer time, they were beginning to see some things that they were just like, whoa, that is not my vision, God. That is not how I saw myself living. It's not what I expected. And yet, every time they would pray, God would show these things. Well, I went through a similar situation because I'm a psalmist, okay? I sing. That's all I've ever seen myself doing. I wanted to make records. I wanted to travel. I wanted to do concerts. I wanted to lead worship. I wanted to sing. And we sang where God put us, 25 years. And all of a sudden, God said, Pastor. And it was like, whoa, that was never on the list. I never saw that one. And then suddenly, I'm still trying to reel from that one, and here comes Africa. I've told y'all, I'm like Elgin, okay? Elgin is too far out in the sticks for me. And God said, Africa. But he put it in my heart so deeply, and I realized there were things he placed in me that I hadn't even seen yet, that I didn't realize that that was something that I would be blessed by. And it reminds me of my favorite movie line. I don't know. Do I say this every time? I feel like I say it a lot. It's from Fools Rush In. Was it Matthew Perry and Selma Hayek, I think? And he's, you know, suit guy in the coat and tie, upwardly mobile, getting the big office, the penthouse, trying to do everything just right. And he meets this person that's just like wild and crazy and doesn't do anything by order. And I'll just, you know. And when he realizes something about this person, he tells her, you're everything I never knew I always wanted. There's something in you that you never knew. Because when God tries to pull you towards it, you're like, I don't do that. But there are things that his love will open up inside of you. God wants to take some of you on the mission field. Not because he wants to make you suffer. You know, I used to be taught that God's going to make you do what you don't want to do just to prove your obedience. No, he's opening up things inside of you that you didn't know were there. You didn't realize you could flourish there. You had no idea. You lived all your life thinking you were this. And all of a sudden, God says, let's do this. And it's like, I don't have a skill set. I don't know how. I don't know what you're talking about. And that is that point where you say, yes. Ah. And then amazing things open up. But he's waiting for your yes. Are you all in developing that love relationship so that you say, God, where you go, I will go. Now, some of us want to do that, but we don't want to do what he wants us to do. Guess what? He can work with that. I remember a song back in the, 70s or 80s Christian music said, if you don't have a willing heart, ask him to give you one. Because it says somewhere in one of the epistles, I can never remember the address, but that he is energizing us and creating within us the power and the desire to will, to want to, and to do his good pleasure. Because I promise you, that's the only place you're going to find satisfaction. Because when we try to work it out, it's just not gonna. When it's just you, when it's man, as Brother Brian was saying, when it's man's construct, has limits. It has limits. So if we will say yes to the love of God, say yes to him, step up to what he's calling us to, I don't see how. There was no way that we could bring young men, young women over here from Africa, pay for their flight, pay for their visa, pay for their room and board, train them, and send them back with support. It was not possible. It simply was not there. But the only thing that was lacking in seeing that was our saying yes. Because when we said yes, I remember talking with KB. I said, the Lord said to make a place for you. I don't see how you're going to get here, but the Lord said to make a place. I didn't know what his resources were. And I said, I've told God that I would like to bring you over here. I don't see the money, but if he makes it available, we'll do it. I didn't make him any promises I couldn't keep. I just said, I would love to. If God makes it available, we'll do it. In about 2 weeks, bam, there was money. I was like, wow, how did that happen? Oh, we could bring KB over now, huh? We weren't speaking to it and declaring, and I'm not making fun of those things. And I believe in speaking the word of God over situations, but sometimes we go off, as they say, half-cocked. And we haven't really gotten the heart and the mind of Christ on things. And the best thing to do is to show him our heart and say, God, I want to do this. I don't see how it can work, but you make a way, I am there. And then you just trust him. And then he surprises you. So many surprises. So many surprises we've had in this walk where there's no way we could afford that. And something interesting, completely out of left field, would happen. Like, wow, look, there's money. How did that happen? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. When we say yes, so he's looking for your yes. He wants us to be sold out. I'm going to go a few more minutes with this. We'll see where God takes it. We need to make that total commitment in love that, Lord, whatever you want of me, I'll do. It's time for that now. You've been prepped. You've been trained. You've been taught. You've been prepped. You've been trained. You've been stretched. You've been put here and put there. You've done this. You've done that. And it's time now. Brother Brian was saying this morning, the turnaround, I believe is what you were saying, the turnaround has come. The turnaround has come. Yes, that means good things in abundance are loose to the body of Christ, but it also means a timing change. A timing change. And in this direction, it's time to get up and step out. It's time to get up and step out. Where? I don't know. I'm not Jesus to you. You got to ask him what, where, how. But understanding that commitment, God, whatever you want, I will do, because this life is not just about being saved, healed, and delivered. It's not just about getting what's mine. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that Christ died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again. For their sake. We don't live to ourselves anymore. We live for him, through him, in him, and what he has done. We are co-laborers with Christ. So understanding that faith and the anointing come upon us to do, to function. Yes, they give us life. They give us joy. They give us peace. Needs are met. But all those things are done so that we may do his will. Jesus said, a body thou hast prepared for me, that I might do your will. We are co-laborers with Christ. We're ministers of reconciliation. Christ works with us, confirming his word, the word that he's put in us, that gives us life, with signs following. Amazing things happening. So faith takes us to that place to live like Jesus lived. You with me? So here's where we take that right turn. How's everybody doing? Look at your neighbor. Say, you still awake? You got a few more minutes? All right. It gets a little different here. You're going to say, well, what? Where are we going? But we're talking about walking as he walked, living as he lived. And I want to take you to a messianic prophecy in Isaiah that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. And it's something that I remember about 2.5 years ago, every single day, praying over myself and over Pastor Richard. Father, I thank you that we have this. And it's from Isaiah chapter 11. And it says, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, that was David's father, and a branch out of his roots will grow and bear fruit. It's talking about Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, shall rest upon him. That was an equipping. An equipping, an ability. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Spirit of wisdom, that is skill, skill in war, skill in administration, shrewdness, prudence, ethics. The spirit of wisdom shall rest upon him. And the spirit of understanding, that's discernment, perception. And the spirit of counsel, which is government, which is might, advice, purpose. And the spirit of might, divine ability, power. The spirit of might. And the spirit of knowledge. And the spirit of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Now, at some point, I want to talk about that last one, but we may not get to it today. But I just want to bring you to some understanding here. This is what is known, many people call the seven spirits of God. Now, as I understand it, these are seven ways that the Holy Spirit is manifested, just as God is a Trinity. In the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God are manifested, the ways that He flows through us, the ways that He equips us. These ways are available to us because we have to walk as He walked. And He walked equipped by these things. It's interesting to me to see a correlation between the seven spirits of God and the manifestations of the Spirit in Corinthians. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment. It's also interesting to see where it says the working of miracles. Miracles there is dunamis, power, might. It is the Greek word that corresponds with the Hebrew word here for the spirit of might. I can't say it, geruba. It is considered the synonym in that language for dunamis. The spirit of might. The spirit of the Lord that works through us for miracles. That's our equipping. It's the same thing that we're told in Corinthians. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, these are the things that people were equipped to do. So these are the things that we can be equipped to do when we receive them. They've been given. They've been poured out. We know Ephesians talks about a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not just a quickening within you. It's a divine ability that comes inside of you and empowers you to. Look at verse 3 there, Isaiah 11, 3. It says, these things shall make him of quick understanding, spiritual perception, the ability to read the word and understand, the ability to see world events and understand. Why? Not because you're so sharp, not because you studied history, but because the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding is within you and upon you. It says, and his delight, that's Jesus, shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he will not govern, he will not judge by the sight of his eyes. What did we just talk about? Faith. We have to walk by faith. That's how our Redeemer walked. He didn't look at things and make a judgment on it. What's the opposite of faith? No. We walk by faith, not by sight. I believe. We could argue it. Fear is definitely, to me, fear is a similarity of faith, just in the wrong thing. But sight is the opposite of faith, what we see. When we make a decision by what we see, with these eyes, we've left out faith. And it generally produces fear. Because when we're looking at these issues, it can do that. But it says, he will not judge or govern by the sight of his eyes. Now remember, Isaiah said the government would be upon his shoulders. Who is that? That's us. On his shoulders. Yes. On the shoulders of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. So the government's on us. So how do we govern? Not by what we see. We govern with the eyes of faith through the discernment that's given us through the Spirit of God. Do you see that? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And it says he will neither decide by the hearing of his ears. Oh, please turn the news off. Please turn the news off. Listen in here. God, what do you want me to do? You know, it sounds like the apocalypse is upon us. It's, you know, going to be blood up to the horse's reins. Any day is an Armageddon. But today, what do you want me to do? Listening and judging by faith, by what we hear in our spirit, not these ears. He will not determine courses of action by what he receives in the sense gates. Amen? But what does he do? In verse 4, with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor, and the downtrodden of the earth. And he will smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth. That's the word. That's the word. And with the breath of his lips, the Spirit of God within us, he will slay the wicked. Looking at where it says he will judge the poor, decide with fairness for the meek, those who are depressed in mind or circumstances. Look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort those that mourn, to grant the beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. We'll build up the ancient ruins and the devastations. The anointing is for purpose. The anointing is to destroy the yoke. The anointing is to make a difference in the life of the people and the earth that God created. These things come for purpose, not just to take us to heaven. Not just so we can have our ministry. God wants you to have a ministry, but the ministry is his heart. Because what is he looking at? What did he send the anointing for? For the poor, for the downtrodden, for everybody that's been run over by the curse and by the enemy. That is what faith is for. That is what the anointing is for, is to do these things. The Spirit of the Lord comes on us for action, to accomplish God's will, to accomplish his purpose. And the last one that it talked about was the fear of the Lord. Let me see if I can just get through this one very quickly. I feel like this is something missing in a lot of churches, the fear of the Lord, the reverence. This is not about being afraid. There was a way that we lived for a long time thinking that God was sitting up there with a baseball bat just waiting to get, you know, take out his anger on us when we messed up. That's what religion taught us. But that's not the fear that it's talking about. It's a reverence. It's an awe. And that has been lost in a lot of our churches. People have gotten too familiar. Remember, Jesus couldn't do any miracles in his hometown because they didn't esteem him. They did not esteem him. So we need to be careful in coming to that, understanding that that is a spirit of the Lord that comes upon us, the reverence and the awe. It's a respect for authority. It's a reverence of the holy and understanding this is the creator of the universe and all that's in it, and he is to be revered. We've strayed from this in parenting. We've strayed from it in the church, in our schools, and even in marriages. We've lost the respect for the authority, the revering of what is holy. There are some people that believe the message of what they call greasy grace is what has made us lose our reverence of God. I believe when it's taught correctly, that can't happen. Grace is the way of our salvation. It's not of works, lest any of us could brag. It's not about our own works. It's about the Redeemer's work of salvation. Because while we were still mean and ugly, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more. There's nothing we can do to get kicked out of the family. We would have to choose to walk away. Mistakes are already forgiven. Already forgiven. You don't have to stay home from church on Sunday morning because you made a mistake Sunday night and yelled at somebody and cussed them out. Oh, I can't come into the presence of God now. Yes, you can. The blood of Jesus welcomes you. But the fear, the reverential awe of, and obedience to the Lord are about growing in our function, our usability in the earth. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved for works. Works that we've just talked about. Faith without works is dead. Faith works. Faith does something. We have to get up and do something. James 2, chapter 2, verse 24 says, a person is justified by works and not faith alone. The works of faith, not the works of trying to get saved, not the works of trying to be good enough, not the works of trying to be acceptable. But there are things that we have to do. And works do play a part in our life. They have nothing to do with being accepted by God, but being used by God. So remember that Jesus is the door for us to come in. And so many people get through the door and they're like, phew, I made it. I'm good. You just got in the room. There's a lot of places to go in there if you choose to go further. So we have to decide to grow in those things that he's called us into those works that were destined beforehand for us to walk in. How do we walk successfully in those works? We understand taking in the word, faith, life, equipped by the Spirit of God to do something. Reverence is the beginning of walking in the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm not going to take you through all of those scriptures. If you want a list of them, I can give it to you. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord prolongs your life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. That's Proverbs 19:23. Satisfaction in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33:6, and there will be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. And the reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and the key to his treasure. So many things the word tells us about the fear of the Lord, the reverent fear of the Lord, the worship of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is connected to angelic activity in your life. The angel of the Lord encamps around about who? Those who fear him, those who reverence him. That's where you're going to see the angelic activity. Let me see where I need to jump to. So I want you to look at something. It may be a little controversial. I'm finishing up right here. I've just got a few more verses, I promise. But I want you to understand this, to look at this, and see what happens when folks do not fear the Lord and when they do fear the Lord. And I believe we're going to see more of these things happening in the church today, because I've heard it in prophecy, and I didn't connect it to this, but now I realize what God was talking about. And I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Has anybody remembered what happened to those guys? Help me out. That was after the cross, right? That was in grace and in mercy, okay? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. But they stood before the men of God, and they stood before God himself, and they lied knowingly. They didn't just stumble over their words and it came out wrong. They lied knowingly to God and to the men of God about what they did with some money. Oh, God doesn't care if we mess up on stuff like that. He'll forgive us. He'll forgive me. For a while, he winks at those things. But then there comes a time when he's like, look, you folks need to understand that you're not getting anywhere without the fear of the Lord, without respecting, without revering, without stepping up to being honest and people of integrity that I've called you to be. And so when they came before and they lied, what happened? The disciples said, you've lied. You've not just committed sin against us. You lied before God, and they're coming to carry your body out. Bam. I think he went to heaven. I think there was a relationship there. It was just, I can't really use you anymore. Your position has been terminated. And then, without knowing what happened, the wife came in, told the same story because they conspired on it. And they said, the same guys that carried out your husband are going to carry you out. And it was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing to witness, to be a part of. But I want you to look at what happened when God set things right and adjusted things there in Acts chapter 5, verse 11. So great fear, reverence, came upon all the church and all who heard, everybody in the building and out of the building. Suddenly, God is to be reverenced. And verse 12 says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. We want signs and wonders. Maybe what's missing is that reverential awe, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because once they got that adjusted, I mean, that got their attention pretty quick. But suddenly, signs and wonders were done. And then in verse 13, it says, none of the people dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the more the church has ripped out page after page of the Bible and said, we're not going to talk about the blood because that's just awful. And we're not going to have the manifestations of the Holy Spirit because that scares people. And we're going to make our services look just like a concert that you went to. And we got a pretty good gig going on because we get a message and we write a song that goes with it. Then we can sell the book and the CD and the MP3 and the concert tour. And they've made it all of that. And how respected are we in the eyes of the people? How many times have you heard them come on? I don't know who's out there now. Jimmy Kimmel, these crazy people, the 6 o'clock news, and said, wow, the church is doing amazing things. We're laughingstock. Oh, I understand we're going to be used and reviled. But there was a place of respect here. The people esteemed them. I heard this, when the church begins to fear the Lord again, then the world will fear the people of God, the church again. I've heard the prophecies that God was moving some men out of office because they were refusing to do it his way. I've heard the prophecies of men standing in the face of government leaders and saying, you have refused the Lord, your God, this day, and you have said you will not do things his way. And if you continue on this process, the worms are going to be eating your body by the morning, and your wife is going to be a widow, and your children are going to be orphans. But that comes from the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear, the reverential awe of the Lord. And then in verse 14, it says, and believers were increasingly added. Multitudes, both men and women, brought into the kingdom because there was a restored reverential awe of God. To the extent that they brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and couches so that just the shadow of Peter would fall on them and they would be healed. But it comes from a place of the reverential awe of walking in the Spirit of God, because that is a spirit. It's not just an attitude that you decide, oh, I'm going to decide God's big and I'm not. It's an anointing to reverence him, to be in awe of him. So we have to make that decision to be all in. We have to choose to get into God's word, to grow in faith and spend time in his presence and develop that love that he's called us to. And in the midst of that love, make that commitment and say yes. And then when we do, we receive the equipping, the seven spirits of God by the Holy Spirit that come and dwell within us and allow us to step into what he has called us to do. Because I'm telling you, it's time to bring in the harvest. We don't need to pray for harvest. God, give us souls. God, give us souls. The harvest is there. I'm praying for you. God, send the laborers. Send the laborers. And it's time that he's looking for somebody that says, here am I, Lord. Send me. It's a sobering time for the remnant right now in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. But it's an exciting time. And you know, you can stay in your comfort zone and you can sit and be happy till Jesus comes or till you die. But there is nothing like living on the edge. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. We're going to Africa. How are we going to pay for it? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? God's got that. God's my travel agent. Living out there on the edge of, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm excited because let me tell you about what happened last week. I can tell you what happened last week for us in our household as I spent several days in intercession just praying for Kempo. It's like, I don't know what's going on. And he would call and he'd say, Mom, I don't know what's wrong with this car. Every time I get out in it, it shakes. It shakes. When I get up to driving speed, you know, what would be our 50, 60 miles an hour, I think I'm going to die. Every time I get in this car, I lay hands on it. He took it to mechanic after mechanic after mechanic. Oh, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Finally, he went one day, he said, I'm not leaving until somebody does something. And they said, well, there's nothing wrong with the car, the guys that sold it to him. He said, no, there's something wrong with the car, and y'all are going to find it. And finally, they wound up with about nine guys standing around it saying there's nothing wrong with the car. And one guy said, well, why don't we pull the hubcaps off and just take a look? Duh. There was one bolt on each of the front tires holding the tire on. There was two on the back wheels. If it wasn't for the shape and the pressure of the hubcap, they would have come off. And the guys were just, they said, how have you been driving this car? How have you not died? There's no way you can drive it and put as many miles on it as you have and not die. And he said, all I can tell you is that God takes care of me. God takes care of me. Those are the ways that we can live. And men look at us and say, how? And you say, I don't understand it, but it's the grace of God. And that's what he's calling us to and to live in now. Miracles, signs, and wonders, because we said yes. Will you say yes, not just to salvation, not just to speaking in tongues, not just to come into church a couple of times a week, but God, where do you want to launch me? Where am I going to find that life? That's what he's calling us to.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you ready to say yes? Have you said yes? Well, there's things to do. There's things to do. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Father. We come before you recognizing you as the creator of the universe. You are the Most High God. You are Majesty. You are splendor. You are holy. And Father, we are challenged this morning. We are stirred in our spirits that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, the true living God, the only living God. We recognize you, we exalt you, we lift you up in our lives and in our eyes, that we look to you, we see you, and there is nothing that is impossible. Nothing that is impossible when we look to you. Father, we yield our spirit. We no longer live to ourselves, looking for our blessings, looking for our provision, looking for our comfort. But Father, we know that you supply those things when we do what you have said, when we follow what you lead us into, when we seek first your kingdom. You add the things that we have need of. But Father, we recognize that faith is not about getting what we want. It's about doing what you want. Help us to realize that. Help us, show us every day, all day long. Holy Spirit, minister this to us daily, 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 till we understand, until we are ready for the commitment of yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, I praise you, Father. I worship before your throne. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I exalt you. And Father, help us to exalt you, not when it's comfortable and it's easy to do in this place, inside these walls. But Father, help us to worship you, to adore you, to revere and respect you when we leave this place, when we go to our jobs, when we go to our schools, when we go to the store. There are people there that need your love. Father, we have received your love, and now we need to give your love out and allow you to touch the hearts. Our faith is for your work, not by what we see or what we hear, but by your word. Our faith is for your work. You take care of us. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We worship before you. We worship before you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Worship the Lord with me. He is holy. He is just. He is right. He is forever, forever enthroned in righteousness, and he wants us with him in that righteousness, in that holiness, with him in saving the lost, in bringing the good news, in bringing the power, the anointing, ability, the healing, and all that he has provided, bringing it to the people who don't know him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, mighty God. We worship you, mighty God. Yes, we celebrate victory in you. We celebrate what you have done for us. But Father, we also know that there is another step, and that is occupying till you come. Doing business, doing your business until you come back. Father, we purpose in our heart. We purpose in our heart. And I decree over this body, I decree over this people, that a supernatural spirit of fear and reverence of the Lord come upon them, come upon all of us, so that we see you high and lifted up, that we know your love because of our relationship with you. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Do you sense the anointing? Do you sense His presence here? He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Karoso torebe satasha deramosundo rebediki. Senderobasa tarasha roko sokote karabaka yede de elamoto sondre. Me roba di arroso rebedi esiri de leka shurama. Karumande de biarabasa de rabasi kiri de asaturosa. Holy Spirit, minister to each heart. Minister to each heart, to each life. I release you to go and touch your people. Touch your people. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Karoma sarabasiti di asata. Sedo de darabaroso torresiti de kish de oromaka sandarabatiende. And oressa romondo residi de echo shore cassidi. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. We worship and adore you. We bow our lives before you. Oh, how we love you, Father God, because you loved us. Help us to love you more. Help us to know you more. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just a few more minutes in His presence. Just a few more minutes. Just love on God. Just love on God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. By your love for us, Father, and by our love for you, we walk and live in faith. Because of your word, because of your life, because of your spirit, we function according to your kingdom, according to your will, plan, and purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I decree over you that you are provided for in for every need of your life. And I decree over you that you are equipped to minister the life of God to the people you come in contact with. It is not about you and you alone. We are about the Master's business, and His business is to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that includes creation, but it is definitely for the people who God loves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I cancel the assignment of the enemy against your life. I say that sickness and disease cannot come to your house, cannot come to your life. Poverty and lack cannot come to your life, cannot come to your household. But you are covered with the name and the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, our Redeemer. I cover you with His blood, His life, so that you are free to minister peace, to minister grace, to minister love to those in need, to those who do not know. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord is strong. If you want someone to pray with you, to agree with you for anything, just for a closer walk with God, ministers will be here to pray with after we dismiss. You can come down, but let me speak a blessing over you. I decree that you are children of the Most High God, that you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, that no weapon formed against you or your house can prosper. But every weapon that is formed against you, whether through a lying tongue, an accusation, a condemnation, or even a misguided opinion, it shall not prosper against you. You show it to be in the wrong. And that you are led with peace, surrounded with joy on every side. And the life of God flows freely in you and through you, so that others know and they are touched by your life, by the life of God that flows in you. I decree that you are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and everywhere you go, you represent all of heaven, all of God, and you bring the kingdom into that situation, into that circumstance, and that everything that you put your hand to do prospers and is successful when you are led by the Holy Spirit, because He always leads you in truth, triumph, and victory. And your life is a celebration of God's life everywhere you go and in everything that you do. You lack for no good thing. You come behind in no good thing. God is your life. He's your source. He's your joy. Go be God to someone else who needs and who doesn't know the one true God. You are loved. You are blessed. You're dismissed. We will see you on Wednesday night. Prayer meeting Tuesday night, 6:30.